Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, HBR's 10 Must Reads on Mental Toughness is a 2018 management anthology from Harvard Business Review Press, edited under the Harvard Business Review imprint. It gathers 10 previously published HBR articles and a bonus interview with psychologist Martin E.P. Seligman on post-traumatic growth and resilience. Rather than presenting one unified authorial system, the volume assembles complementary perspectives from leadership research, performance psychology, cognitive science, career management, and negotiation. Its purpose is practical to help managers and professionals maintain judgment, energy, and constructive action when pressure, loss, uncertainty, or conflict intensify. The selections address recurring demands of working life, including recovering from career setbacks, regulating emotional reactions, using stress productively, and learning through demanding leadership experiences. The book treats toughness less as stoicism or relentless endurance than as a set of capacities that can be developed: realistic optimism, recovery, deliberate practice, perspective taking, and adaptive responses to adversity. Its anthology format gives readers several entry points into the subject while retaining a consistent leadership focus. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, resilience depends on explanatory habits rather than denial. A central contribution of the collection is its treatment of resilience as an interpretive discipline, especially in Martin E.P. Seligman's discussion of learned optimism. The relevant distinction is not between people who encounter difficulty and people who do not. It is between explanations that turn a setback into a permanent verdict on the self and explanations that identify a specific, temporary, and addressable problem. When a disappointing result is understood as proof that everything will fail, motivation and problem-solving narrow. When it is understood as feedback about a defined situation, a person has more room to identify next actions. This is not a recommendation to ignore losses or force cheerful thinking. It is an argument for resisting exaggerated conclusions that make recovery harder. In a managerial setting, explanatory habits matter because leaders shape the meaning of bad news for others. A leader who describes a missed target accurately, acknowledges its consequences, and directs attention to controllable causes can preserve accountability without spreading helplessness. The anthology, therefore, frames emotional strength as compatible with realism. It calls for recognizing negative emotions and facts while preventing them from becoming generalized assumptions about competence, prospects, or identity. This perspective makes resilience a repeatable practice of appraisal, not an inborn personality trait. Secondly, stress becomes more useful when it is managed as a challenge. The article on using stress productively challenges the simple assumption that stress is always harmful. The collection does not advocate constant pressure or dismiss the costs of exhaustion. Instead, it highlights how the meaning assigned to stress can influence a response to demanding circumstances. A challenge appraisal can direct attention toward preparation, learning, and available resources, whereas a threat appraisal can intensify avoidance and reduce effective performance. This distinction is especially relevant for leaders facing deadlines, public scrutiny, organizational change, or difficult decisions. The practical issue is not to eliminate every source of arousal, which is often impossible, but to distinguish useful activation from overload, and to respond deliberately. Preparation, clear priorities, and perspective can make demanding work more manageable because they convert diffuse anxiety into specific tasks. The volume also pairs this insight with the corporate athlete model, which emphasizes that high performance requires cycles of expenditure and recovery. That pairing is important. Reframing stress without recovery can become a rationale for overwork. By contrast, treating recovery as part of performance recognizes limits in attention, emotion, and physical energy. The result is a more precise version of mental toughness. It means sustaining purposeful effort during pressure while using rest, renewal, and routines to avoid turning short-term intensity into chronic depletion. Thirdly, leadership crucibles turn adversity into judgment and identity. Several selections examine demanding experiences as crucibles of leadership. A crucible is not valuable merely because it is painful. It becomes developmental when an individual extracts judgment, purpose, and a more grounded understanding of personal values from it. The collection links this idea to the reality that leadership often involves ambiguity, conflict, failure, and decisions without clean solutions. Such situations test whether a person can continue to act responsibly when familiar sources of certainty disappear. The useful lesson is therefore not that leaders should seek hardship for its own sake. It is that difficult experiences can become sources of capability when they are examined rather than simply endured. Reflection helps identify what happened, what assumptions were challenged, what choices remain, and what can be carried into future situations. This approach also avoids equating toughness with emotional detachment. People may experience disappointment, fear, or anger during a leadership test, yet still learn to separate immediate emotion from the next constructive decision. The bonus conversation on post-traumatic growth extends the theme carefully by considering the possibility of positive psychological change after serious adversity. It does not imply that trauma is desirable or that growth is automatic. Instead, it points to the importance of meaning-making, supportive relationships, and future-oriented reconstruction when recovery is possible. For organizational leaders, this supports a more humane view of resilience, acknowledge harm, create conditions for recovery, and avoid simplistic demands to move on. Fourthly, cognitive fitness and deliberate practice protect performance under pressure. The anthology connects mental toughness with skills that preserve the quality of thinking when stakes rise. The cognitive fitness perspective directs attention to how people notice emotional triggers, manage attention, and avoid allowing automatic reactions to dictated decisions. Under pressure, a quick interpretation can be mistaken for a complete assessment. The collection repeatedly favors a pause that creates room to identify facts, competing explanations, and available options. This is especially visible in the material on extreme negotiations, where curiosity, respect, and attention to the larger situation can be more useful than reflexive judgment. Such practices matter because high-pressure interactions often encourage false, either-or choices and escalation. Cognitive discipline helps a leader resist those traps without becoming passive. The volume also includes Graham Jones's account of how top performers continue to improve, reinforcing the role of deliberate, feedback-informed development. High performance is not presented as a fixed state secured by confidence alone. It requires short-term goals connected to longer aims, honest feedback, and environments that expose weaknesses rather than conceal them. Together, these articles shift toughness away from bravado. A tough professional is someone able to stay teachable when performance matters, examine a reaction before acting on it, and use feedback to refine future behavior. This is a demanding standard because it requires both self-control and openness to correction, particularly when ego protection would be easier. Lastly, setbacks require practical recovery and relationship repair. The articles on bouncing back from adversity and rebounding from career setbacks bring the collection from general resilience principles to a concrete professional problem how-to. Respond after a job loss, demotion, failed initiative, or other disruption to status and routine. A career setback has material consequences, but it can also damage confidence and distort self-assessment. The book's broad approach suggests that recovery requires more than determination. People need to acknowledge the setback, regain emotional and practical stability, reassess strengths and constraints, and re-enter action through credible next steps. This differs from advice that treats a setback as a branding opportunity or assumes that rapid reinvention is always feasible. The focus is on restoring agency without denying the loss. The negotiation material adds a relational dimension. In strained situations, rebuilding trust depends on respect, understanding, and reciprocal commitments rather than on pressure alone. A pause before reacting and a willingness to explore more than two apparent outcomes can prevent conflict from hardening into a permanent break. These ideas are useful after organizational reversals because professional recovery often depends on relationships as much as individual resolve. Former colleagues, managers, clients, and peers may become sources of feedback, opportunity, or repair. The collection thus portrays recovery as both internal and social individuals regulate their responses, while leaders and teams create conditions in which candid conversation, learning, and renewed cooperation are possible. In conclusion, HBR's 10 must-reads on mental toughness is best suited to managers, emerging leaders, and experienced professionals whose work involves sustained pressure, uncertain decisions, difficult feedback, or career disruption. It is also useful to people who want a business-oriented introduction to resilience without reducing the topic to slogans about perseverance. Readers can take away practical ways to examine pessimistic interpretations, use stress as information rather than automatic evidence of danger, protect recovery time, improve attention under pressure, and approach conflict with greater curiosity and restraint. The bonus interview on post-traumatic growth broadens the volume beyond ordinary workplace performance by recognizing that severe adversity can reshape meaning and identity, while not making growth sound inevitable. What distinguishes the book from many single-author resilience guides is the range of its source material. It does not rely on one model of toughness. Instead, it juxtaposes learned optimism, energy management, cognitive control, leadership development, career recovery, and high-stakes negotiation. That breadth is valuable for readers whose challenges do not fit a single category. The trade-off is that the chapters retain the independence of their original article form, so readers seeking a linear program may need to create their own sequence of practice. Even so, the editorial selection gives the collection coherence. Toughness is portrayed as adaptable, reflective performance rather than invulnerability. Its most useful message is that adversity tests judgment and energy, but it can also reveal habits that professionals can revise through deliberate recovery, better interpretation, and more constructive action. If you would like to support Harvard Business Review, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.